The spotlight shines blindingly bright on the man in the middle, and so it should. But he wasn't the only one on the stage. Two thieves were crucified beside him, but we only see them in the shadows. We don't know their names. We don't know if they were lifelong scallywags or one-hit wonders. But they probably weren't just boosting flat screens out of living rooms. They were probably highway robbers who robbed and killed for a living. But they had been caught, arrested, tried, convicted, and sentenced to die at the hands of Roman soldiers who made their living off the dying. At the dawn of the day, they both made fun of Jesus. Both men's voices dripped with the bitterness of men condemned to die. But one thief was so hateful, he never once cried out for mercy, even as he felt the searing sting of death pierce his hardened heart, even while he was hanging right next to mercy. The thief who died separated from God died only a few feet away from him. And all he had to do was swallow his pride, repent of his sin, and God would have forgiven him. But he suffered life's greatest tragedy, to be eternally separated from God, especially after being so close to God. Life's greatest tragedy would be to go to hell, especially after going to church. We learn life's greatest tragedy from one thief, but I believe we learn life's second greatest tragedy from the other. And with that, I tell you, you're listening to L.J. Harry, and you're listening to Life's Second Greatest Tragedy on Simplify. As the longest and last day of his life dragged on, the second thief listened more and spoke less, and his icy heart began to melt. He may never have heard Jesus preach one parable, but on the cross he heard Jesus cry, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Forgive them? Forgive those who crucified you? Forgive those who suspended you between heaven and earth on public display for all the world to point and mock? Forgive them? The ones who beat you nearly to death? Forgive them? For the first time in a long time, maybe even a lifetime, he felt mercy rather than judgment. While hanging on a cross, only minutes away from death and a few feet away from the author of life, a convicted criminal asked the holy God of heaven, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." You're kidding, right? You are asking to be forgiven after all the people you robbed and killed? You're a thief. You deserve hell, and you're asking for heaven? What nerve? Jesus would say, what faith? He believed if Jesus would forgive those who crucified him, maybe he would forgive one crucified with him. So he asked Jesus for the one thing he desperately needed but did not deserve. He asked Jesus for mercy. He didn't really know what to expect. Maybe Jesus would lecture him on breaking the sixth, eighth, and tenth commandments. And those would just be Jesus' opening remarks. But instead of a lecture, Jesus made him a promise. "This day, you will be with me in paradise." That's a bit of an odd couple, isn't it? The holy God of glory who never did anything wrong. A thief who never did anything right except call out to God for mercy. And that was enough. I thank God there is still hope as long as there is still life. At this point in the story, we usually keep the spotlight on Jesus and follow him from the cross to the tomb, but I want to shift the spotlight back to the thief and bring to light what I believe to be life's second greatest tragedy. If life's greatest tragedy is to be lost, I believe life's second greatest tragedy is to be saved alone. The gospel writers didn't write any of his family into the cross. Maybe his mom was there. I doubt she raised her son to be a thug. I doubt he sat in third grade math class and dreamed of the day he would make his living by making everyone miserable. But for whatever reason, maybe he fell in the wrong crowd or fell behind on his bills and saw robbery as a quick way of getting Ma paid up. For whatever reason, he lived as a thief and would have died as a thief, but Jesus. But maybe nobody was at the cross for him because he didn't take any of the 20, 30, 40, 50 years he had been gifted by God to help anybody get ready for heaven. Thank God he made it at the last possible second, but he didn't live his life to help anyone else get there. God gave him grace to crawl across the finish line. He was saved, but he was saved alone. I want to go to heaven. I hope you do too. But I don't want to go alone. And I hope you don't either. I don't just want to crawl across the finish line and fall past the pearly gate and wipe the sweat from my brow and say, "Whew, thank God that's over. I'm glad I made it." But I want to help bring as many people to heaven with me. I want to see Jesus change my friends' lives like he changed mine. For us, it's all about what he does for us on Sunday. I think I can speak for most of us when I say there's nothing I love more than those Sunday services where we rejoice and shout and jump and dance and worship God and bobby pins fly like missiles from one end of the sanctuary to the other. But I believe I can speak for God when I say there's nothing he loves more than when we who were in his house go home to our house in our neighborhood and our work and our school and we share with others what God has done for us. For us, it's all about what he does for us on Sunday. But for him and them, it's also about us telling them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday what he's done for us. We have a higher calling, a holier calling than just being in Jesus' fan club from miracle to miracle. Jesus called us to be disciples and make disciples for him. So testify. Tell your story. Tweet it. Text it. Post it. Write about it. Sing about it. Write a song, then sing about it. Our world, your world, needs a church heading for heaven, reaching everyone along the way. Let's go to heaven, but let's make sure we don't go alone. Would you pray with me right now? Jesus, I love you and I thank you so much for your goodness to us. You are merciful. You are so faithful. Thank you for the grace to give us the strength to go to heaven. But I pray, help us to reach as many as we can along the way. Help us, God, to befriend people, to make disciples. Help us, Lord, to share our story, the gospel, our testimony with them. I pray, Lord, you would use this podcast, this episode. I pray, God, you would use any means you're able to use to help us reach people for your glory. I love you, Jesus. Help us to go to heaven and help us not to go alone. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope this episode has been a help and blessing to you. If so, I'd love to hear about it. You can reach me on social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Facebook, I'm on lj.harry. And Instagram, you can find me at lj&andrea, lj&andrea. Hope this episode has been a challenge to you and caused you to think about what you're doing with your life and hopefully caused you to move the threshold from just you yourself making it to heaven, but now your mission is to make disciples along the way. A great way to do that is found in the book Follow to Lead by Pastor Stan Gleason. And in that book, he illustrates Jesus' model for making disciples. It was very simple. Make a friend, then make a disciple. You go from strangers to friends and from friends to disciples. And what that means is as you befriend somebody and you form a relationship with them and you show genuine, true love and concern for somebody else, they will want to hear your story just like you want to know theirs. And you'll be able to share your testimony and share what God has done for you, and then God will be able to do the very same thing he's done for you for them. That's the awesome God we serve and the wonderful responsibility we have as disciples. So pick up that book as well, Follow to Lead. You can get that at PentecostalPublishing.com. Also, if you want a copy of the book Simplify, from which this podcast was launched, you can pick that up at PentecostalPublishing.com. Also, it's available in print, and it's also available on Kindle. Shout out to all of those who are listening in these United States and in our neighbor Canada. Also, shout out to those who are listening all around the world. I've seen some countries come up on our podcast analytics. So if you're listening outside of these United States, I'm so glad you're a part of the Simplify family. Please, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear where you're listening from. So hit me up on social media. Once again, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, you can find me very simply. With COVID-19 and all the interesting things that have been going on with diseases and pestilence and weather patterns and all that, we've seen quite a bit of death and loss lately. And I know that pains all of us. So next week, I want to share with you a devotion called I Hate Bees. And for those of you bee lovers, beekeepers out there, I'm sorry. But you'll understand why I hate bees when I share my story with you. I'm looking forward to sharing that with you next week. And always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.